beating back an attempt to allow the imposition of new charges on customers who use credit cards to pay for merchandise. The Senate Banking Committee today approved legislation sponsored by Senator John Chafee to liberalize a law allowing merchants to offer discounts to those who pay cash for items they buy. Chafee's bill removes an existing 5% limit on discounts to those who pay in cash. It also prohibits surcharges on the use of credit cards. When the Banking Committee took up Chafee's bill to extend the law today, Senator William Proxmire offered an amendment to allow new charges on credit card purchases. But Chafee argued against the move, telling the committee,
"The bill as we have it before us, with the limitations of prohibition on surcharges with the use of credit cards, sets a definite ceiling so that when the person goes into the store, they know that they're not going to have to pay any more. And it seems to me that's the key thing we want to do if we're interested in protecting the consumer. When the consumer goes in and sees the furniture's listed at $220, that's the maximum he's going to have to pay, or she. And there's no sleight at hand when you go up to the cash register and you submit your credit card that they then say, well, there'll be a surcharge on that, or 5 or 7 or whatever it is."
After defeating the Proxmire amendment by a voice vote, the committee went on to approve Chafee's bill, sending it to the full Senate for final action.
And enforce almost all school desegregation orders. Thus far, the Justice Department has intervened in or initiated more than 500 cases since 1964. This latest Senate bill theoretically would not bar the Justice Department from involvement in school desegregation cases per se, but most of them involve busing as the remedy. Jim?
One of the main congressional advocates of this anti-busing legislation is Congressman Jim Collins, Republican of Texas. Congressman Collins was the author of the legislation in the House. Congressman, first, there is no question about a conference committee agreement on this, is there?
Well, I wouldn't think there is, but what we've done, both in the House side and the Senate side, we're agreeing that the Justice Department will not have any funds available to take action regarding busing cases. Now, the wording is a little different, but the principle is exactly the same.
There is a lot of discussion now about what this bill really means. Do you see it just in those simple terms as to what the meaning is? The Justice Department is out of it now?
Well, what it means to me is that the schools in America, the local school system, can start concentrating on education. Because what they've been doing is spending all their time in litigation on trying to figure out how to run a bus system. Jim, what happened during the period that we've had this busing in America? The student achievement test, that is the test that the seniors take when they're seniors, across student achievement tests are down 82 points. Just every year, our graduating seniors know less and less and less. And we're paying teachers more, we have better buildings, but the difference is we've had this school busing. And we're not concentrating on teaching the kids the fundamentals.
And you think there's a direct connection between busing and the drop in the scores?
Well, is there anything any different? The teachers are better, the schools are better. The only difference is we have busing.
Senator Weicker, as you know, says that this sends a message that civil rights is no longer an issue. Do you see it that way?
It's not civil rights. What we wanted to do was to achieve a balance. Take my city. We've had this busing now.
Which is Dallas.
Dallas, Texas. We've had this busing down there, and at the time we started it, 38% of the students in our school system were minority students. Today, 68%. Now, they talked about wanting to get integration. They've done exactly the reverse. They're segregating our schools.
Attorney General Civiletti says that this bill may be unconstitutional. Do you think he's wrong?
Well, he's completely wrong. Of course, he's the Attorney General, and he's certainly got his right to see it, but there's nothing in this that Congress can't do. We just simply have defined what will be the duties of the Justice Department. Now, instead of spending their time around here working out busing programs to delay children's education, they'll be working on crime. I was interested to see that crime in the cities for juveniles is up 85%, crime in the suburban areas is up 215%, and we just want them to concentrate on a field that they shouldn't know more about.
Congressman, do you see this as a first step toward further changes in the way the federal government goes about
it? I hope so. I sure do. You know, we're paying 43 cents out of every dollar for taxes, and a lot of that just for unnecessary expenditure. Let me give you an example. Down there in Dallas, I checked during the past 14 years, and our cost of educating a pupil has gone from $361 to $1,746. In other words, we're spending nearly $5 every dollar we used to spend. And we're going to do away with all this red tape, and we'll be able to concentrate again on education.
What about some of the other areas of civil rights that Senator Thurman in particular has mentioned, and other senators, the new committee chairman in the Senate, the Republican committee chairman, like maybe repealing some of the affirmative action laws, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Do you favor that kind of refinement and change as well?
Well, I believe in equal opportunity for everybody, but what we want to do is to get away from all of this routine. You know, it used to be you couldn't list what your race is or any of that. Now they've gotten back and they're classifying people. They're beginning to put people on quota basis. Well, America wasn't built on a quota system. Everybody should be treated exactly the same. And all of these quotas and so-called action programs, merit is the way to have advancement. I'm particularly interested in this Voting Rights Act, though, because what we have, every commissioner, every little thing that comes up anywhere, you've got to send about 8 copies to Congress or to Washington. I hope we can cut that out.
Thank you, Congressman. Charlene?
As Jim said earlier, the anti-busing measure was upheld by a vote of 51 to 35. Among the naysayers in that group of 35 was Senator John H. Chafee, Republican of Rhode Island. Senator Chafee, you voted against the bill. Why?
I voted against it primarily on grounds that I felt it was an improper way of attacking the problem. I wasn't sympathetic for those who were attacking the problem of school busing. Although I must say that I have reservations about it, but I certainly didn't like this approach to say that the Constitution of the United States, as interpreted by the Supreme Court, says under the 14th Amendment that this is a tool that can be used to achieve desegregation. But instead of saying, okay, we don't like that, we're going to change the Constitution, what the opponents of school busing said is, well, you can't use any federal funds to pay the Justice Department to enforce the law. And I just don't think that's the proper way of doing things. I think it harkens back to, I think it was about 1828 when President Jackson said, in connection with the decision made concerning the federal bank, well, the Supreme Court's made a decision, now let them enforce it. I don't think that's the way we want our country run.
So that you agree with Attorney General Civiletti that the principal problem here is the constitutional issue?
Well, even if it is, I'm not saying that this is necessarily unconstitutional. What I'm saying is that this is bad for the country to say that something is interpreted by the Supreme Court as being constitutional, namely busing and how to proceed under it, but then for the Congress of the United States to say there'll be no money to enforce the law. I mean, I don't think we want that. That's improper. That's bad for the future of the country, in my judgment.
So that are you also saying that your vote against the bill was not necessarily a vote in favor of busing?
No, I think that we haven't had a direct vote on that situation, and of course I presume that the opponents of school busing will say there's no way of getting at it. Well, yes, there is a way of getting at it. They can bring up a constitutional amendment. That's where constitutional amendments start in the Congress of the United States, and if they feel that way, go ahead, proceed with the constitutional amendment. Then we'll vote on that.
Wasn't that tried once, though, recently?
To my judgment, maybe Congressman Collins knows otherwise, but I don't think, certainly since I've been in the Senate, there's been no school busing, anti-school busing constitutional amendment presented.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was behind the kind of support that this bill got?
Well, unquestionably, in the United States, all across the United States, there is deep concern over this business of school busing, and Congressman Collins has touched on it. The feeling, even amongst the blacks, as I understand it, is real deep concern as to whether this is working. Even the educators are divided as to whether transporting children around in buses some distance from their home, away from their neighborhood schools, is good for education. And I must say, I don't view this with the alarm that some do, that this is undermining the whole civil rights structure. I believe that many of those who voted for this particular measure did so on grounds that they're just against school busing. That doesn't mean necessarily they're against the Voting Rights Act or that they're against fair housing, but they feel that school busing is a disastrous failure.
But you also quoted, as I recall in the paper, a paraphrase as saying that you felt that some of this vote was attributed to the concern that these senators had, that their constituencies back home might see this as a vote, if they voted in, against it, as a vote for busing, that the vote was made out of fear.
Well, I noticed I was quoted in the paper as saying that some senators voted for out of fear. I didn't say that. What I did say was, I suspect, or perhaps it's so, because no one told me they voted for it out of fear. But I suspect that as a result of this recent election, in which voting positions sometimes have been distorted, that some senators felt that they just don't want to be held up to their constituents as for, the term is never school busing, it's forced school busing. But my deep objection to this legislation yesterday and why I felt strongly about it was that this is an improper way of dealing with a serious matter. Well, I've covered that before.
All right, thank you, sir. Jim?
Legislation similar to that passed last night has long been sought by various private anti-busing groups. Foremost among them is the National Association for Neighborhood Schools, which has affiliates in 28 states. Its president is William D'Onofrio of Wilmington, Delaware. I assume you're pleased with what the Congress is doing, both in the House and Senate.
Yes, I am, even though it is only a first step. We're looking forward to the next Congress.
What is the next step from your point of view?
The next step is to achieve an anti-busing majority in both houses of Congress and have the Congress stop the courts on busing.
And through a constitutional amendment, as Senator Chafee was talking
well,
about?
Well, we feel that the Constitution shouldn't have to be amended to stop busing. We feel Congress should be able to stop the courts in the absence of a constitutional amendment.
In what way? I mean, just pass a law forbidding it?
Well, we looked to such things as Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, which proponents of busing say is invalid and which we say is valid. All we want to see happen in the Congress is for the Congress of the United States to lock into law, enforce law, the racial balance prohibitions of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. We don't want to go back to before Brown. I don't think this country will ever do that. I don't think the citizens of this country will put up with it. We want to stop forced racial balance busing. We want a definition of the terms that are bandied about by pro-busers. We want to know what they mean by equal educational opportunity. We want to know what a unitary school system is. We want to know what desegregation is, what integration is, what segregation is. And we don't want to have these terms changed for the convenience of people who are just pushing a social policy.
What about the senator's point that those of you who feel the way you do, that this is an improper way to go about it? The Supreme Court has said that this is a legal constitutional means to achieve school desegregation, and for the Congress to come along and say, well, it's legal, but won't give you any money to enforce it.
That's not what the Supreme Court has said over the years in terms of assignment of children. Now, for many, many years prior to Brown, the Supreme Court said that the Constitution said that it was permissible to assign children.
Excuse me, Brown meaning, of course, the 1954 Brown Board of Education. Right.
The Supreme Court said that the Constitution said it was permissible to assign children on the basis of the race. And then in 1954, in a decision that most all Americans applaud, the Supreme Court said that the Constitution prohibited the assignment of children based on race. And then in 1969, in a key case in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Supreme Court said that the Constitution required the assignment of children based on race. So over all these years, decades and decades, the Constitution hasn't changed one iota, not a single word has changed. So what the Supreme Court says and does is simply a function of the ideology of the majority of that court. And this is hypocrisy. Now, Senator Chafee addressed the supposition that congressmen or senators are threatened by their constituents as bringing them as pro-busing. Well, I always thought we had a representative system of government. And I don't call that being threatened. I call it a call by the citizens to have their congressmen and their senators represent their views in Congress.
So, I mean, that they ought to be afraid then if they go home after having voted for this.
That's what the free elections are all about. You know, we didn't invent politics by pressure group. people like myself, but this is the first time I've ever been involved in anything like this in my life. We knew about it, but we're joining into it and we're learning.
Is your interest in this solely the busing issue, or do you feel, as Congressman Collins does, that other changes in civil rights bills also need to be made?
I certainly do. There may be some. There certainly has been an overreaching, but of course, my group is what they call a single-issue group. We're against busing, and we're against the deleterious effects of federal interference in public education, even beyond busing.
WT.
Thank you. Charlene?
Now to another group with a vested interest in the outcome of this legislation. It is the NAACP, which brought the original school desegregation case, Brown, in 1954, and which has continued to press the courts for remedies, including busing. Thomas Atkins is the general counsel for the NAACP. Mr. Atkins, what does the passage of this bill mean for the kind of school desegregation efforts that you have been litigating through the courts?
I think what it principally means is that it will reduce the respect people with knowledge of the Constitution have for the Senate and the Congress. I think there's little question but that the bill is unconstitutional. What it seeks to do is to, on the one hand, have federal funds going to local school districts, for example, which on the other hand cannot be required to spend those funds in a non-discriminatory manner. Prohibiting the Justice Department from pursuing school desegregation remedies where school officials have deliberately caused segregation, which is the only time there could be a desegregation order anyway, combined with the previous congressional legislation which prohibits the Department of Education from withholding funds if the effect of the orders they would require involve reassigning students beyond the next year's school. The combination of these two things means that the federal government has been made a constitutional eunuch. And when Congressman Collins and others say that they don't think it's unconstitutional, what that does is hold Congress up to public ridicule.
Mm-hmm. How important is the involvement of the Justice Department in these cases?
The Justice Department's involvement is important because it is the Justice Department for the United States. And the Justice Department's pursuit of unconstitutional actions by public officials has served to vindicate in the eyes of people in this country and in the eyes of the rest of the world the commitment of this country through its government to see to it that equal opportunity is a reality, that equal protection under the laws is a reality. And I think Congressman Collins sort of tipped his and the hands of many of those who joined with him in this vote when he said, now that I've got this over with, let me move on to the Voting Rights Act. Well, the reality is, there were people who felt that the federal government should not have gotten involved in trying to stop lynching when lynching blacks was a favorite pastime of many people in Congressman Collins' state. There are those who feel that the federal government should not be involved now in protecting the rights of children who are being abused by illegal actions. There are those who feel the federal government should not be involved in protecting the environment. And there are those who feel that the blacks of this country had too much before 1954, have gotten too much since 1954, and would do anything in their power to cut it back.
Well, what about the point that you heard argued here that many people, the majority of the people in this country, black and white, reject busing as a remedy to achieve desegregation?
Simple solution to that is for the people in this country to vote for school officials who will obey the Constitution, to vote for public officials at the local level who are running the school systems who will refrain from deliberately causing racial segregation. And that's the only time a federal court gets involved, when there has been deliberate public action to cause segregation. As to the furor and the cry for neighborhood schools, what's a neighborhood school? Does a child who goes 2 miles to school attend a school in his neighborhood? When another child goes a block, how big is the neighborhood? I think the reality is neighborhoods are psychological concepts. They have nothing to do necessarily with geography. And communities across the country, including Congressman Collins' district, Dallas, there are so-called magnet schools or special schools that draw their student enrollment citywide. What is the neighborhood of a child who attends a citywide school? And as for those who say they're against busing, if buses were stopped in this country, all the buses that were carrying children to school, most of those riding the buses would be white, and most of the buses that are carrying white children to school have nothing to do with desegregation.
Thank you. Jim?
Congressman, how about that?
Well, I think you missed the point completely. I want to say this first about busing, because Senator mentioned something. We object to forced busing. We believe in busing for handicapped students. We believe in busing for rural students. But we have a program in Dallas in the Richardson school systems, which I think is the ideal solution. They took a black school, an elementary school, and they said it's half black. Now we want it to be half white. We want the balance. But the volunteer white students are the ones going there, and they have a waiting list until 1985. They have an enrichment program. It runs from 8 until 6. They have special classes when school's over, you know. They have
and the students get there by bus, though.
Oh, they get there any way they want to. It's not a bus program. Their parents bring them or they walk. But the point is they're volunteers, and they want to go there. What we object to is this forcing people to go there. Yeah, this school is half black. Let me tell you about these schools in the country. They talk about what they're doing. I just looked at some figures. Atlanta's about 89% minority. Chicago, 75%. Detroit, 82%. 97% in Washington. 85% in San Antonio. What we're doing, we're turning our public school systems into nothing but minority schools. I thought what we wanted was racial balance.
Mr. Atkins?
I think the problem with Congressman Collins' careless use of figures, like his earlier report about, or allegation about achievement scores dropping 82 points, is that he throws these things around in a vacuum. 82 points from what? He does not say, for instance, that in school districts that have had desegregation orders, that achievement has dropped 82 points. He cannot say that because it has not been the case. The reality is that in school districts that have had school desegregation orders entered, the achievement level of white children has not dropped. The achievement level of black children has either remained the same or risen. Now, Congressman Collins' reference to the school in Dallas, which is drawing children from all over, well, Congressman, in case you didn't know it, they ride a bus to get there. There's nothing magical about a bus. There's nothing harmful about a bus. It's showing that more children more safely get to school on buses.
Still don't understand
the
issue.
Well, what about his point, though, that they get on the bus voluntarily rather than to the court order or forced busing, use his term?
Well, I think the forced busing business is sort of like forced income tax pay. I don't like pay income tax, but it's one of those necessary evils, sort of like Congress. You got to put up with it because they haven't figured out a better way to get things done, even though they do foolish things like this every now and then.
You see it as a necessary evil, Mr. D'Onofrio?
I'd like to address some of the terms that are being bandied about, if I might.
Well, we'll get a few minutes left. What about what he says, that busing is a necessary evil?
I disagree with that completely. There's no such thing as a necessary evil.
Do you see it that way, Senator?
Well, I think that I think Congressman Collins is going a little far to blame all the problems of the American educational system on busing. I don't accept that. And I believe that in some instances, and the Supreme Court has limited its decision to as was mentioned here by Mr. Atkins, to exceptional circumstances. I think in some circumstances that if we're going to have true integration, indeed busing is necessary. But as I said before, my principal objection to this legislation, and I hope the President does veto it, if he does veto it, I'm confident that his veto will not be overridden, is that this is an improper way of achieving a cure.
Charlene?
Can I just ask each of you gentlemen briefly, do you still believe that an integrated society is a desirable goal, starting with you, Congressman Collins?
I think it certainly is. Everybody's our friend, and if there's one thing we need in America more, it's love and understanding.
Could I just get a response from Mr. D'Onofrio?
Certainly I do. I think we do have an integrated society. I don't think we can define integration. Does integration mean racial balance?
Bill Bryant?
Senator Chafee?
Oh, yes, no question.
And you, Mr. Atkins?
Immigration, Mr. D'Onofrio, is the absence of segregation. It's the opposite of segregation. And the NAACP, for over 70 years, has been committed to an America free of forced racial segregation. We believe in immigration. We think it's good for the country.
Congressman Collins, you talked about the things that you would like to eliminate, like some of the programs, affirmative action and voting rights and so on that concern you. Do you feel that you can achieve the kind of integral society you just stated that you believed in when it seems that there's so much opposition to the tools that have been created to achieve the society?
I don't quite follow you here. What's the relationship here between busing now and the affirmative action program?
In other words, the tools that Mr. Atkins just spoke about and voting rights and so on have been looked upon as tools that would help blacks and other minorities gain equal access in the society. Do you disagree that the things that you're concerned about would then stop achievement of that integrated society?
I just don't think that they particularly solve that problem. For instance, let's go back to the schools where we have it. I made a lot of specific cases. What they've done, they completely segregated the schools. They started out for racial balance, and I went through and named all this list. I'd like Mr. Atkins to tell me about some school systems in America. I named about 8 that have problems. Name one where this busing has helped.
The
problem that I see with the...
Some specific one.
Yeah, with the kind of bland generalities that Congressman Collins is throwing around here.
I name school.
Is it,
let him finish, Congressman.
What he fails to understand is that most of the cities he named, Atlanta included, Washington, D.C. included, became majority non-white cities for reasons completely unrelated to desegregation. They were related to the desire of white Americans to go and show that they got a raise on their job. The desire of people to get out of the city, to live in the country, to have a home rather than an apartment. The problem with that kind of cause-effect relationship that he seeks erroneously to establish is that it perpetuates a myth. And I believe that it represents a derogation of the public responsibility that a congressman has when he does misuse statistics and distort facts, as he has tried to do tonight.
Congressman?
Of course, Washington doesn't have busing. They've got 97%, as he said, without it. What I saw was cities that had a good balance, like Dallas, where we had a 38% balance, and now we've turned it over and we have 68%. I didn't want the 68% balance, but what's happened is this busing has done it to us.
No, I don't think. I think that's simply not true. I was in Dallas as recently as last week.
I'm sorry, we're out of time, Mr. Atkins. Thank you very much, gentlemen here. Thank you very much. Good night, Charlie.
Good night, Jim.
We'll see you tomorrow night. I'm Jim Lehrer. Thank you.
Washington on his legislation that would allow Senator John Chafee today opened hearings in Washington on his legislation that would allow every taxpayer to take an annual tax deduction of up to $2,000 a year for money they place in a retirement savings account. Opening a hearing of the Senate Finance Subcommittee on Savings, Pensions, and Investment Policy, which Chafee now chairs, the Rhode Island senator noted that present tax law encourages people to borrow, not to save.
As you know, our tax code is long on incentives for people to borrow money. There's no question about that. And to borrow for virtually any purpose. But the code is unfortunately discouragingly short on incentives for the average worker in this country to save and to plan for the future. In the face of 25% inflation over the last 2 years, people have kept their savings levels at a very low rate. And have incurred record levels of consumer debt at the same time. The shortage of loanable funds resulting from the drain on savings is causing persistently high interest rates, at least it's certainly a contributing factor to that, which makes the purchase of a home or the education of a child extremely expensive. And the tight money markets are making it harder for business to expand and to create new jobs for our 8 million unemployed Americans.
Chafee also told today's hearings he hopes for early action on his legislation by Congress.
It is my hope that when Congress deals with the President's tax cuts, it will pass legislation to encourage a larger share of the tax cut to be saved. Not only will this be beneficial to individual savers, but it will help offset any potential inflationary effects such a large tax cut might have.
Chafee's bill would not only make it easier for most Americans to save, but also include special provisions to allow retirement savings to be used for education and for the purchase of new homes.
Half of the rest of the country. If our people can find a job, they work for $1.20 an hour less than the national average. That's $48 a week less than is earned in the rest of the country. Every study, study after study, every one of them, shows that our state cannot become competitive until we make our unemployment compensation taxes at least equal with the rest of the country. That means eliminating payments to strikers and reducing the payments to retirees. Until that is done, the tragedy will continue. The constant departure of your children and of my children from Rhode Island to seek jobs elsewhere in the rest of the country.
Go to minute 8.
Yesterday we had a lot of votes on the floor of the Senate dealing with the food stamp program. As perhaps you remember, when I was governor, we were the first state in the nation to start with the food stamp program, and I've been a believer in it ever since. Some changes were instituted in the program under the legislation we passed yesterday. One of them eliminated the requirement for a cash contribution. Now, if you want some food stamps, you've got to put up some money. That was eliminated, and I think that was a good move. It was proposed on the floor that no food stamps go to strikers. I voted against that. I felt that strikers should be entitled to receive food stamps, and I didn't think it was proper to forbid strikers to receive food stamps, so I opposed the amendment that would have forbidden them to. Hey, John, let's start that over. That was too long. Let me try it again. Yesterday on the floor of the Senate, there were a lot of votes dealing with the food stamp program. As perhaps you recall, when I was governor, we were the first state in the nation to start into the food stamp program, and I've always felt it's a good one. Amongst the changes that were approved yesterday were the elimination of the cash requirement. Now, as you know, if you want to buy food stamps, you have to put up some money. That's been eliminated, that cash requirement. It was proposed on the floor that no strikers receive food stamps. I did not support that proposal. I felt that strikers should be entitled to receive food stamps, and I believe that it's proper that strikers do receive food stamps. It was also proposed that no students whatsoever be able to obtain food stamps. You know, there have been a lot of complaints that students are receiving. Well, I didn't believe in a blanket prohibition against students. I felt that those students that really need the stamps should be entitled to receive them. However, the bill does tighten up on which students can receive them, and I felt the restrictions were fair ones. So I think the program is now proposed won't cost any more. I think it'll go more to the people that deserve and need the stamps rather than the way it was before.